Connection Church in Kokomo, Indiana. I'm also a missionary with OMS, One Mission Society, out of Greenwood. I'm a member of the World Intercessor Team. And we pray regularly on Zoom for all of our missionaries and all of their needs. And then I just got a text on another prayer request for one of them. And so we're on kind of on call all the time to be praying. And then I'm part of the team that travels abroad and goes to the mission fields. And I pray with the missionaries and our mission partners who are there, who are doing a lot of the legwork for planting churches all around the world. So it's an exciting time of life post 70.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Wow. Okay.
Tell me if I'm not talking loudly enough. So let's pray, okay? Father God, we come to you today and we are so enamored with you and with the Son, Jesus, and with your Spirit. Come and fill us. Fill me. Let my words be your words. Let my thoughts be your thoughts. And may that be true of each person here as we break into prayer. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm so glad that God brought you all here. I'm a regular listener, reader of Dutch Sheets, Give Him 15. Have any of you heard of that one? Yeah. And so it's a daily, weekday, daily devotional and prayer. And a lot of it centers around our nation, but it's for all nations. It's not just for us. And if you want to go back and listen to the one from Monday, it was great because he talks about that. And it's just Give Him 15. There's an app. There's a givehim15.org or whatever it is. And just Google it. You can find it and find him. And it's great information on a daily basis. And he usually records them the night before, so it's fresh. It's fresh prayer and fresh information. But often, something he does or says strikes a nerve with me. And I know I've got to remember that. And so this particular day, June the 18th, 2024. So if you're looking for this particular thing, June the 18th of 2024, you can look it up on his Give Him 15. It's one of those days that I said to myself, the church needs to hear this. The church needs to do this. And so I bookmarked it, not knowing when I would use it. And I was just minding my business when they called me to do a prayer breakout session here. And I went through a few things with them, and finally I said this, and they said, that's it. Prayer Points for Revival. And that's the name of the article that originated with Intercessors for America. And that's the name of the post on Dutch Sheets, Give Him 15. So the name that you have at the top of your sheet is what you'll be looking for if you're looking for the complete article online. Now what I've done is I've taken it and I've made it into a Bible study / teaching / learning exercise on prayer. And that's what we're going to do today. And so I make no apologies for using material that originates with Intercessors for America and then Dutch Sheets. I don't make any apologies for that. When there's something good, you got to let people know about it. So it's my job here today to challenge you to pray for revival. So we're just going to do a little exercise today with it. And that part is on me. I did that. So if you want to blame someone for it, it's me. I heard a quote recently Revival is a divine attack on society. And some attribute it to Jonathan Edwards. And some don't attribute it to anything. I looked it up online. At any rate, it is true. Revival is a divine attack on society. There are a lot of words that are being thrown around right now to describe the moves of God that are taking place all over the world. The one we're using here is revival, but there are some other words that I think a lot of people use interchangeably, but there are nuances that are maybe a little bit different. One of them, renewal, is one. Something becoming new. Reformation, something that's being reformed or reshaped. Renaissance is one that's really come out lately, and that's a new birth. And then awakening, an arise from arising from a state of sleep, or as I said, cluelessness. Sometimes we have to wake up when we're clueless, don't we? We need to wake up. For a few years now, leaders in the prayer movement and missions have been saying there will be a 1 billion soul harvest. Billion with a B. But that's coming. And on top of that, in the last year or so, they say it's begun. It has begun. So, we're not too late to pray into it, and we're not too early to pray big prayers for it. But it is just the beginning, because it's going to be unavoidable when it happens. You won't be able to not know about it. The only people who won't know about it are the ones who choose not to see God at work. So, but we want that. So now is the time to join forces with intercessors all over the world in praying for 1 billion souls to turn to Jesus as their Savior and Lord. This turns us to starting a little bit of the article, but I've inserted a lot of stuff here. We start by defining revival and its movements of spiritual renewal and reformation among God's people, or an outpouring of conviction among believers, leading to repentance from sin and conversions of many. And so when we look at that, we think about things that have happened in the past, and they've been going on over the centuries. But I just went back to the First Great Awakening, they called it, 1730s, 1740s. The Second Great Awakening, 1790 to 1840-ish. The Welsh Revival, 1904 to 1905. And Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles, which was 1906. And we all know about the moves of God, that there have been moves of God throughout the 20th century, unless you weren't born yet. And anyway, and even now, college campuses are erupting with revival. If you're following it anywhere, there are places that are on top of it. And there's a group that are going that's going from campus to campus and holding these meetings and baptizing maybe a couple thousand at a time. So tell me it hasn't begun. Shirley here's my friend, and we were praying for our grandsons who were getting ready to go to college, and I told her, I'm just praying that he's in the right place to get his relationship with God all figured out, right, and not be drawn away from him. And they both chose state schools. And I'm a product of Campus Crusade in a state school. So I know that it can happen. I know times are different now, but I know that it can happen. And I'll tell you something I didn't tell the other group. That grandson texted me in February and said, Grammy, we're getting ready to start a Bible study. Where should we start? Okay, bring it on, Lord. Bring it on.
Yes, yes.
We love it. We love it. So, but then Ohio State last year had the football team broke out in revival in the fall. And they led a campus-wide revival. And then, and I wrote the Ohio State University, because we want to say it correctly. And Florida State University has. And the University of Alabama. And Auburn University. And Southern Methodist University. And I know there are many, many more. But also, there are Jesus marches taking place around the world. There was one in Rome, in London, in Paris, in Belfast, in, let's see, the other one I have is Riga, Latvia. And I know that there have been many more. These are the bigger cities. So I know they're taking place other places too, right? It's catching on. I don't know about you, but I'm going to find out where God is moving and join that movement in prayer. I want to be a part of it. Hi there, come on in. Shirley, would you get her some handouts? Sure. And anyway, so I just want to be there. And I think you do too, or you wouldn't be here. I'm going to be there with God. And so as intercessors, we are special ops or watchmen and women on the wall. And we are to pray for revival to come, that we'd be protected from distractions and distortions once it does happen. And that when I think of the distortions, I think of what the media does, if they do report on it at all. You have to make sure that you're getting the right story. And so that's part of it. So we're called to persist in prayer. That's part of it. We have to persist and prevail and maybe even travail in prayer for this revival if necessary. And we're going to kind of center this around 2 Chronicles, and you know that one verse, but we're going to read the couple, one before and one after. 2 Chronicles 7, 13 to 15 says, "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place." So there are some, about 6 prayer points that are in those verses. And we're going to go through each one of those prayer points and take time to pray about each one. And when it comes time, I'm going to ask you to find someone to pray with, another person. So that's coming. Okay? Our first step is desperation. And on your sheet, you'll see that. And we must first seek God in desperation. These people were desperate because of the locusts and the rain shut up in the heavens. They were desperate. What makes us desperate today? Today, this very day, what makes us desperate? I'm thinking the riots and the chaos that the enemy is bringing into Los Angeles and New York and other places. I even heard that there was a little bit going on Georgia Street in Indianapolis. So there could be, it could be coming to a city near you. But we all know that this is just chaos being stirred up by the enemy, who wants to see, provide that distraction that we were talking about, and keep our focus off of the one who is going, who is in charge. And I believe that that is happening because this revival has started. It's got the enemy stirred up. You know, when we pray and when God starts moving, the enemy gets stirred up. And so we want to take care of that in prayer. And so I'm going to ask you individually, this time, to take the next few minutes looking at the scriptures about desperation and praying through them on your own. If you want to do it aloud, I don't care. but you may not want to. And pray these scriptures and getting that frame of mind of being desperate for God to move. And I'm going to set my timer because I will forget. I'm sure you could spend much more time on that at a later time. My goal in providing all of those scriptures under each point is not for us to look at all of them today, but for you to take the sheet with you and study it for yourselves and study it maybe with someone, another person, or take it to a prayer group. And that because there are so many scriptures there, you might be able to do one at a time over maybe a period of a few weeks or whatever. Whatever God leads you to do, you know what works in your context, don't you? Are any of you the prayer leader of your church in some way? Yeah. So you kind of get a feel for what works and what doesn't work. So let's look at point number two. And we must humble, I'm sorry, is that right? Yes. Mm-hmm. We must humble ourselves, and I ask that you find another person, so that's kind of humbling, isn't it? to pray these scriptures with aloud. And I want to stop here because I had a question yesterday at the end about praying scripture, someone who wasn't familiar with that term. And so what I said in a nutshell, because I had to put it quick afterwards, was when we pray scripture, we read a scripture and we look for a principle that's in it. There's a principle there. And it's just like, the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer pattern. And there's each part is a principle or some area that we need to pray about. But there's a principle there. And taking that principle and maybe putting it in your own words and applying it to your own life. And that's what we do when we pray scripture a lot of the time. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. It may be uncomfortable for you if you're praying with someone you don't know. But then again, it might be uncomfortable if you pray with someone you do know. Because that can be uncomfortable as well. But what you're doing when you're praying this on humility and on being humble is we're looking for attitudes of the heart. And that's not just our personal hearts, it's our corporate hearts as a church, as a community, as a nation. And we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. And so I'm going to give you like 4 or 5 minutes again. And find that person, and if you look up at least one scripture, maybe two, and you each make sure that each person gets a chance to pray aloud into that particular topic or that subject or that scripture. And you may want to each look at a different scripture and pray that scripture out loud to with each other. So I'm just expecting it to sound like a bunch of bees humming around in here. And so go right ahead and get started. Find your person.
I'm Steve Schoner.
Southern Illinois.
But I'm Amy.
I'm Richard. Oh, have you read it yet?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Do we have someone? Do we have an odd number?
I used to work for a number two agency before I retired.
Okay, yes, yeah, we have a couple of different offices there.
So we know each other a little better.
Yes. Here, why don't you be my partner?
Yeah.
Okay. Would you be my partner?
Yes.
So you first started to strike you? Or
No.
Did you have one?
No.
No, I was kind of reading that
PSU. And I just pray as you trust in you,
okay.
For the blessing of those who trust in you.
I pray that Richard would be like a tree planted
along the
roots that reach deep into the bottom. For
such trees are not bothered by heat,
they may not be worried by long months of
drought.
May Richard's life stay green, and may they never stop producing fruit.
Who really knows how bad it is?
Search his heart, examine his heart, his secret motives. And I pray that you would keep him humble before you and lead him into you each day. Just pray.
I'm going to go to James 5.
Midst of changing
patterns.
Okay, what did you say?
Keep those ideas or thoughts now. So, Father, as our church goes through a change in practice, remember the good things.
Do you mean James 4?
What's that? James 5:43.
So, that's what, yeah. Oh, Sam 1, yeah, yeah. So, I'm talking about it's
for you.
Yeah, I think it's chapter 4.
Chapter 4?
Because I think we're in the humility one now.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so I did that. Yeah, so I was just looking at it. I'm like, that's a hard passage to read.
Yeah.
Do that one.
Yeah. Definitely. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Just go to James 6.
We can go to the same page. The next one as well. James 4. It gives us more grace. That's why scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble.
Heavenly Father, I just pray for Amy, Lord, that you would give her more grace, Lord. Open her eyes to that, heart eyes, Lord.
Thank you for the grace, God, I know.
The grace that you have given her.
So much I need.
And Lord, we know that you do oppose proud, Lord. And we should show humility to those around us, Lord. And we just pray that, Lord. Amy today, and just Lord, ask you to be with her in that, to touch her, Lord, touch her spirit, touch her mind, Lord, that she can give more grace, Lord, and be more humble to people, and just be there for them and understand them, and
just pray for continued favor,
be open to whatever their needs are. Sometimes we get into ourselves and we forget that there are others. Just thank you, Lord, for Amy. Ask you to bless her, Lord, and then just fill her heart with love.
Okay. Start winding down. Say your yes and amen. I'll give you a minute, a second or two to finish what you're saying. Okay. We're going to move on to the next section now. Section 3. It's really long, and you and your prayer partner may have to choose just one scripture, but it's up to you. Maybe you can each do a scripture. We're asking God to make us prayerful people. We want to be prayerful people. Prayer is not just for before we go to bed. It's not just for before meals. It's not just for Sunday mornings. It's not just for prayer meeting night, if you have those. Prayer is a lifestyle. It's an attitude in our hearts. And so we want to make sure that we're open to praying all the time. So we have to ask ourselves, is prayer encouraged in my home? What about my church? How is prayer encouraged in my church? If you have a prayer leader in your church, they have so much at their disposal to help you with your prayer life. And if they offer a class or just anything, just, you know, take it. Do it. And so I ask, is your spiritual life dry and lifeless? Try adding more prayer every day.
Yeah.
And so let's pray for our nation, our cities and homes, and may I even say our schools, to become houses of prayer. Mm-hmm. That we may all be houses of prayer because of the Christ living in us. So I'm going to give you about 4 or 5 minutes again. And I'm going to start the timer now.
I picked Acts. Acts 1, chapter verse 14.
Oh, by the way, that first one says, pray 1 Thessalonians. You don't have to do the whole thing. Down further, it says 1 Thessalonians 5, 6 through 18. So, yeah.
Dear Lord, I do pray that we learn to pray, Lord, constantly. Lord, our minds sometimes get so distracted by worldly things, Lord, that we forget the need to pray. But Lord, just help us each day to concentrate on what we need to pray for. Whatever you bring to mind, Lord, let it be our sole purpose to pray for Christ Jesus. Thank you that you do, Lord, touch our minds and our hearts and give us words of prayer, Lord, and people to pray for, Lord, and there's always a need. So, Lord, I just pray that our prayers are continuous, Lord, and that our hearts and minds are focused on you. And Lord,
do not be anxious about
thank you for this
situation.
We just thank you for who you are, and Lord, we just give you praise.
Brother God, we just come before
So I was getting very frustrated and probably saying some words.
Okay, are you ready to move on to our next section? The next section is section 4, which is about hunger for God, praying for a hunger for God in our churches, in our nation, and across the world. And if we can do that, oh, wow. But we're going to pray for the hunger of God to permeate our hearts, our churches, our schools, our nation, the world, wherever we go, and our government especially. And we pray that for every nation. And we ask for the first love passion to come and fill us and our sphere of influence. You know, our church has a sphere of influence, and we start with our neighborhood, but it's also in our town, our city, and wherever the people who are members of our church, they're taking it with them into the community and wherever they go. So, I have a couple of typos in this section. I'm confessing. And what was it Scott said the other night? Making mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, don't tell me now, but tell me later. I already found most of them. I already told you about one. I had to do this back in March or early April and turn it in before I went on that mission trip to Italy. So I was really busting it to get it done. But I just ask you to, when you're praying for that hunger for God, feel free to cry out to Him. Use these scriptures as your heart's cry for the world to have a hunger for Him. We'll do this again, okay?
I have the first one.
Day of prayer. National day of prayer.
Lord, I just thank you.
Community themselves. Ministerial society would call for a courthouse of prayer.
And his weakness. Lord, when he doesn't know what he knows, to be your prayer, thank you. That the Holy Spirit.
There was a lot of people out.
That our hearts would plead with you first, and that you bring the fruits.
Heavenly Father, I lift up Amy to you, Lord, and just thank you for her, Lord, and I just thank you for her heart for you, Lord. Be with Amy,
the Lord is close to all who call
her heart toward your statutes, Lord. And Lord, just guide her and direct her in your way, in your will, and for your purpose. Lord, not to get caught up in the world and selfish games. Lord, but we need to pray that for all your people, Lord, not just one or two, but for all your people, Lord. We would follow your statutes, Lord, that you would put them in our minds and our hearts. Lord, that we would take ourselves out of what we want and seek your will and your purpose in our lives. Lord, that we would reach out to others in our communities and in our schools. And Lord, just pray for our nation, Lord, as a whole. Lord, that we turn our minds toward you and our hearts toward you. And just seek more of you each and every day.
Lord, I thank you.
We had a tragedy in our community.
It's 57 years later. And sometimes I neglect working. And Lord, when you realize that we do that, then our churches are designed for hunger.
Did you find it's supposed to be 2 Timothy, that one, and I typed the word kin instead of in?
It says, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me.
We need to move on to the next section. I have to keep us on track here because it'll be lunchtime when we're finished. So, we're going to be looking at repentance. Now, when I saw this progression, I thought repentance should have been up toward the top. But that's okay. We're talking about maybe corporate repentance. And we have to do our own business with God as far as repentance goes before we get too far into this, right? Is that... So take the next 5 minutes to pray through some of these scriptures aloud with your partner. And I love aloud. I think God likes to hear our voices. That's as far as I'll go with that right now. And in this repentance, we're seeking holiness. We're seeking Holy Spirit conviction and life in Christ and more. We want more of him and less of us. And so we come to him on behalf of our nation and the world and even our churches. So let's hit this starting now.
Okay, found it. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. So, Father God, Lord, I just come to you right now, Lord, and I pray that in this world that is pushing the narrative of you do you and follow your ways. Yes.
Lord, I just I just lift up Amy to the Lord today and just ask you once again to be with her, Lord, to show her the way that you want her to live, Lord, an effective life in peace and with everyone. Lord, to be holy without her. Because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Lord, I pray that also for our nation, Lord. Even for the kids on campus, Lord, what we've heard is going on, Lord, that they are seeking you, and Lord, in you there is holiness. Lord, I just pray that they seek you for that purpose, Lord, Lord, that you would let your face shine upon them, Lord, that their, let their hearts be filled up more of you, Lord. Because, Lord, your word says, without the Lord, we will not see you. So, Lord, I prayed that for all our college students, school students, for all those in clinical positions, Lord, that you would guide them, Lord, that they would seek you in your holiness.
I just pray that that would all come.
And all that you have for them.
Love you and for what you in grateful expectations.
Lord, I just lift up my truth to you and pray that he would like that word cleansing. There would be any cleansing that is needed from everything that would defile or damage your body or spirit, and let him work toward complete fullness because he fears you. And Lord, I just pray that for us all. Lord, if there are any places of pain in Richard's life, lives of others, pray that we might go to that place and that your light would just cleanse, drive any darkness away, that your light would just confidence fill and just spur us on from holiness. Lord, the kind of sorrow that you want leads us to experience. Leads us away from sin, and it results in salvation. There's no regret in that kind of sorrow. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death. So I just pray for Richard, just any remorse, Lord, would always be strong and godly. So basically, propels him to sin no more. I pray that's for our brothers and sisters around the world.
We just have, well, we have.
Yesterday, when we were doing this, at one point I said, God is so happy to hear you. He is so happy to hear your voices being lifted to him and having his word pray back to him, because there's no better way to pray than to pray the word.
Yes.
Because you really can't go wrong if you're praying the word. And I love my partner here. She's enjoying it. She said, this is fun. And I hope that you're having a little bit of fun with it too. So our last section is on joy. And we want to pray for joy. Who of us has experienced the joy of being in the center of God's will? Mm-hmm. We've probably all been there. I think so. We want others to have that joy, right? A joy that doesn't fade and becomes an abiding joy that grows as we mature in our faith. And I consider myself to be immature in my faith because I'm not there yet. When I see him face to face, I'll be complete. So there we go. But I want his joy to flood me all over. And how about you? Do we want others to experience this joy also? That's that revival heart and that evangelistic heart that he has put in us. So I want you to just express your joy, read the scriptures, pray for joy, but not just for yourself, but for others and for those who... for those billion souls. A world full of a billion people with joy. Wow. Go ahead and start.
Galatians 1. Do you want me to start that one?
Yeah, I got that too, but that's
okay. Oh, okay. Let me do 16. Let's see how that is. as a father, I pray.
Heavenly Father, I just pray for Amy Lawrence that you have called her to be free, Lord, because in you there is freedom. But Lord, not to be indulged by the flesh, Lord, by the world. Rather, Lord, to serve one another humbly in love. And Lord, for our for your law is filled with commands, Lord, to love your neighbor as yourself. Lord, and if we don't love our neighbors, we devour them. And Lord, we destroy them. And we pray that in Amy's heart, Lord, that she desires more of you, more to love. Lord, sometimes it's hard to love the unlovely, but Lord, you've given us the ability to do that. We just thank you, Lord, that you have, and we just thank you for the example of true love in Jesus Christ. And we just thank you, Lord, that we have this example, Lord, that you put in our minds and in our hearts. Pray for that desire to love one another for all of us, not just us here, but every one of us that we haven't met yet, Lord, that you be with them. Just let us radiate the love of Christ in our lives.
Lord, your word tells us on Isaiah 55, if anyone is thirsty, to come and drink. And Lord, you tell us to listen to you. We will eat what is good, and we will enjoy the finest food. And I pray that the richest food will delight in the richest fare that you provide, Lord, that you would just fill his soul with your joy for us, that he would just be rich with that. You tell us to come to you with our ears wide open and to listen and find the light. And I pray that each day, Richard would listen for you with his ears wide, and he would just find new life that would just keep on deepening on and becoming more rich as he feasts on you. Lord, I pray this for our brothers and sisters to just come to you with their ears wide open, that they would find the richest life in you. And I just pray this on you.
Thank you.
Well, that's our last section that we're going to pray over. Then we're going to pray a prayer together. One of the people that I listen to podcasts and things said this, and I don't remember who it was. I forgot to write down who said it, but someone said
I like it.
That we are to steward this 1 billion soul revival and harvest through our prayers.
Yes.
We steward it in prayer. Is that, I've never thought about prayer being a stewardship thing, but it is. We are stewarding that. We know that it's not going to look like all the revivals have in the past. And we know that it's not going to be the same, maybe bringing people to church all the time. We may be going to them. We may be helping them with home worshiping groups. That's what we call it at OMS. We call them worshiping groups. And that worshiping group can be under a tree. It can be in a coffee house. It can be a lot of places. But that worshiping group is key to that. And Shirley and I have a friend who told us about this one lady in Kokomo, a younger woman, who was a gamer. Mm-hmm. And then she found Christ. Mm-hmm. And Christ turned her life around, and she was convicted that she was spending too much time on it, although she was making a living at gaming.
Mm-hmm. No.
They make money doing that.
Like gambling, you mean?
I don't think it's gambling necessarily.
Points.
Yeah.
Playing games.
Yeah.
Video games.
Yeah.
That kind of game.
Well, how do you make money playing a video game?
They have.
They do.
They
do it.
That's what these people do.
So we have to jump through that hurdle.
That is the
And then in these games.
It's an e-sport.
There's
colleges.
Rooms. That you can get a room someplace. In these games. And these young people, gamers, are getting rooms and starting churches in them.
Wow. Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome.
And this is a gal in Kokomo who's doing this.
Yeah.
I don't know her yet. Mm-hmm. And she, on Friday nights, they have worship. And she has people from all over the world coming to her room for worship.
Wow.
One night a week, mm-hmm. it's prayer. And they pray for one another in her room. And another night a week, they do deliverance, because most of them, and most mm-hmm. of us probably, need to be delivered from something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that's becoming a church. Now, if you told them they were in a church.
Not
me. But they use this to evangelize their peers. So, you know, when you think about the billion souls,
yeah.
And that can go to that very quickly, exponentially. So that's how they do that. And these are the people that our church is probably, the conventional church won't reach. You know? And if they do come to our buildings, that's great, wonderful. We've got to understand that they don't come from our world of church people. And that it's a different ball game to them. And they're going to feel like fish out of water. So don't be offended if they don't come to your church. Stop. So anyway, I just wanted to tell you that it's happening, whether we know it or not. And think about that. If you have kids or grandkids, they may know all about these rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Just ask them. I haven't asked mine yet if they ever visit any of those rooms. There's probably some pretty evil stuff going on in those rooms, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's something else to pray about. Something else. Well, we need to close, and I'll be around for a while today. And Dutch ends every day with a prayer and a declaration or a decree. And I'd like for us to pray it together aloud. Would that be okay? It's on your sheet. Oh, sorry, Shirley. I've got another one. Okay, all right. Father, we come to you today, partnering with and agreeing with millions of people throughout the world for your present help in a time of trouble. We are, as the teaching states, desperate for this help. We humble ourselves before you, asking for your grace, cleansing, and healing. We do repent for the prayerlessness of the church, but we are also grateful for the millions of people around the world who are praying. A great symphony of prayer goes up daily around the world, moving your heart and releasing your power. Angels are being sent to work with the church, and breakthroughs have and will continue to occur. We can
continue to cry out, send revival. We know we are asking these things, not just for ourselves, but for you. You desire to do them, but have determined to work through humans on earth. When we partner with you, asking in faith, according to your will, you hear and answer those prayers. We do so today, in Jesus' name. Send revival to the earth.
And so we make this decree together. Let's do that.
We decree that a willing church is rising up to partner with God on the earth.
Amen and amen. It's 12:01.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Perfect. And we're close to the dime.
Yes,
we are.
We can.
We are.
The perfect is that.